Okay, Parshas Chukas Tavshin Pei Dalet. I want to dedicate this Parsha Shir Le'ilu Nishmas, my father, Chaim Meir Ben Yoshua. I just got that from Shiva yesterday, and that's why I didn't give the Parsha Shir last week. My father was a giant of a man, which we thought we knew how amazing he was, but really there was so much there beyond. Again, I grew up in his shadow. I remember every time when somebody met me, he heard the name Rosner. He says, "Dr. Rosner." I said, "Yes." He goes, "The Dr. Rosner." It was always two steps, always two stages. I was always so proud to be my father's son. And over the years, recognizing his impact on our family personally and on Klal Yisrael, as a doctor, as a medical ethicist, and everything that he taught us through his example and through his Torah learning. And just being at home, he was a father. He was a father who always did the daf, and he always did the Chumash and Rashi, and always was there for us at home, even outside of his international fame. But he was always home with us, leading our family, and his memory should continue for a long time. By the time we should be zocha to follow in his amazing derech, and continue his mission from the kinder transport all the way to Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, 88 and a half years later, an amazing life of Torah, of mitzvos, of avoda, and we should really be able to follow in his derech, Be'ezus Hashem. Okay, Parshas Chukas. Zos Chukas HaTorah. This is the Chok. This is the Para Aduma. And the first Rashi already tells us Zos Chukas HaTorah. Lafisha Satan Ve'umos Olam Mona Nes Yisrael. The Satan, the other nations, they make fun of Am Yisrael. Lomar Ma HaMitzvah HaZos. What is this mitzvah? Ma Tam Yishba. What kind of mitzvah is this? There's so many above logic, illogic, things that don't make sense in this mitzvah. What's the purpose? That's why it's a chok. Laficha kasa bachuka. That's why the Torah says chok. You're right. Your answer is that it's only in God's realm. Gzera hi milafanai ein lecha rishus lahara chareha. It is a gzera. It is a law. Don't try to be mahar. Don't try to figure it out. Says Rashi. It's a chok, as known as the ultimate chok in halacha. There are other chukim, shatnez and basar b'chalav, but this is the one that's always known as the chok. A question that many mefarshim ask is that if you look a little bit later in the Rashi, Rashi quotes Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan. Rashi quotes Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan that maybe it's not such a chok. Maybe there's some symbolism and parallelism that we could think about when it comes to Paraduma. If you look in the first source from the Likutei Yehoshua, the beginning of the source, he quotes the Rashi. Right, this is at the end of the section of the end of Perek Yutes. Rashi goes through all the details. In the name of Moshe Darshan that Paraduma is a tikkun. Mashal ben Shivcha v'chulu tavo imo v'chulu tekach tavo Paraduma v'tachaper al ma'aseh ha'egel. So the Paraduma mitzvah is connected to Chete Egel. Again, all the details that Rashi quotes on the end of the parak. Let me just see. Kishem shenikalu al Aaron shukorn laso se'egel lefisha Aaron asa se'egel lo nasa zavod al yado in kadekan asa sa'negar. Eitz eres ve'ezo v'shni tolas keneged shloshes alfei ish shenaflu be'egel. Keneged the 3,000 men that fell on the egel, that's the Eitz eres, Ezov, and Shni Tolas. Erez is the Gavoa Mikol Ilanos. Ezov is the Namach Mikulon, the highest, the lowest. Simen Shah Gavoa, Shenizgae V'chata, Yashpilot Asmoke Ezov, but Tolas Vizkapalo. So there are details. There are details that we can learn from in terms of paralleling the Paraduma to the Egels. That's his question. Mim Ken Kasha, Delael, Pirish Rashi, Zos Chukas HaTorah, Leficha, Kasa Bachuka, Gzeri, Milafane, it's Gzera. Ein Lecha Rishus Lahara, Achareha. Paraduma, you don't think, and here it is. A tam nachon lechaper al ma'aseh egel. So he quotes. He saw in somewhere breezy in Yonazeh. He thinks he quotes the sword in the Yisbach Yisrael. De be'emes sarach lahavin lama nitna lahem mitzvahs paraduma b'toras chuka shegezera hibli nisin as tam. Why dafka? Why was it given to them as a chok? Hashem could have been mefarsem, and sounds like from the Chazal that we have with Shlomo HaMelech, Hashem says, "I'm not giving you right this reason." Obviously, there are reasons. Okay, if we call it a reason, there are backgrounds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. So why is it that he withheld the information when it comes to Para Aduma? So he explains, Achainian line 8, Machmas Shebecheta Egel Nichshulu Yisrael Ede Choser Yedia. The root of the Cheta Egel was not knowing and not thinking. Kamosha Amru, Zem Moshe Ha'ish Lo Yadana Mahayalo. They didn't think properly and they didn't know. They not knowing about Moshe Rabbeinu is what led them to Cheta Egel. Lo Yadanu Mehayalo is the Pasuk. Ukshiratzi Yisrael Asos Tshuva, Ulachapar al Cheta Egel, when Bnei Yisrael wanted to do Tshuva and get a tikkun for the Cheta Egel, Hayutzrichim al Derech Tshuvas HaMishkal. What's the parallel to being Misakin the Cheta Egel? To do a mitzvah without Yediya. If the Avera was without Yediya, so then the mitzvah needs also be without Yediya. La sozos gamkein, ba'oso ofen shachos Yediya. The alkein, lo nitam lehem tam le mitzvahs paraduma. That's why it was dafka withheld, and it wasn't given to them. Yes, of course, there is a reason. And there's a parallel, as we know from Moshe Adarshan. But the Bnei Yisrael, at that time, it was withheld from them so that the tikkun for the egel could be parallel. Lo nita lam tam mitzvah sapara, kedishi yikaimu ha-mitzvah b'li yediyas tam ha-mitzvah. Without the knowledge, kamo shal yachet machmas lo yadanu, mida keneged mida. Ulefiza nicha, and that's why, says the Likutei Yoshua, it makes sense, shamar kadosh baruch hu l'moshe rabbeinu, l'cha ani megalatam paraduma. I'm going to give you the reason for paraduma. She Moshe rabbeinu lo haya b'cheta egel. Moshe didn't need that tshuvas ha-mishkal. Not only did he, know every kolatara kula and all the halachas, but Hashem, according to Chazal, gave him the reason for paraduma. What do you mean? If it's supposed to be a chok, why should Moshe Rabbeinu get it? No, even Moshe Rabbeinu even though he got all of the Torah and the mitzvahs and the ta'amim, this one he was able to get because he didn't need that tikkun. V'shaper yachal adas tam ha-mitzvah, shibol l'chaper al-maiso egel. Avershah kol Yisrael shechata, shelahem hayu b'lo yadanu. Their sin was without knowledge. V'yitzrichem l'takin achit ba'osa ofen shel yadanu, and had to be a parallel. And that's why it says chok. And then he quotes, that's one idea. And then he quotes from Rebbe Yitzchak, the Kedushas Levi, another idea. Levi Yisrael Radishev says, I don't think this is in the Kedushas Levi ala Torah. But also inyan shenira, it might be, but I just to look quickly, I don't think I saw it. But also inyan shenira kistir b'divrei Rashi, shemitchila pirish al zos chukas haTorah, lefish ha-satan, v'umos olamon es Yisrael, as we just said, the other nations, ma mitzvah zos, ma tam yeshba, lefichach, it's a chok zeri milafanai. You can't. And later on, he gives the reason. So he says as follows on line 27. Amar al Rabbi Yitzchak mi Bardishev ki achein zeret zono shel ha-satan tamid lekatreg al Yisrael lahaskir avonoseihem. The satan wants the reason to be mentioned. The satan wants, oh yeah, cheta egel, you need a tikkun. There was a dirtiness that the mother has to clean up. Tsoas bina. So the satan is very interested to be maskir avonoseihem. V'yakenu shol shela zu l'tama paraduma. Right? What is the language? Right? It's interesting. The first Rashi. The satan and the umos ha'olam monen es Yisrael. Right? We all usually focus just on the umos ha'olam. The other nations wonder what's the avodas Hashem that doesn't make sense. What are you doing? The satan? What does the satan have to do with it? We discussed in the past. The what does the satan symbolize? There is a Gemara, who's satan, who yates Sahara, who malcha maves. But the satan, we had a drasha about this a number of years ago, the satan only appears three times in all of Tanakh as a noun, as a being, right? The satan appears in Zechariah and appears to Eov, and to David HaMelech, by the counting. But what is the satan doing here? The satan says, what are you doing? Yeah, because the satan wants to know, what's this mitzvah about? And he wants the cheta egel. What does Hashem sue? He doesn't measure as a chok. Hashem wants to protect the tzidkus, or at least to cover up the sins. That's a better way to say it. To cover up the sins of Klal Yisrael. Akenu shol sheila zu l'tama paraduma. The kavanasa badek, kedi sheyeshuvu lo al atam, es atam. Tell me the reason, right? L'nako soas bina, v'adeza yaskiras cheta egel, ba'ofan ze yo'or kitrug al Yisrael. So Hashem says, gzeri milafanai, I'm not answering your question. Not every truth has to be said publicly, and that is a classic of Levi Yitzchak, who defends and tries to always have us looking at the good side of Klal Yisrael. Okay, moving right along to the Apiryon. Source number two. The Apiryon, where the Baal Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, has another detail, focusing on the detail of the of Rabbi Moshe Adarshan, Lashon Rashi Zal, Omejaka the Hitakti, Misoy Moshe Adarshan, Va Erez, as I read from the end of the Perek, the Erez is the Gavoa Mikol HaIlanos, Va Ezov Namuch Mikulan, Simon, to remind me and to teach me, Shahagavoa Shenitgae, Vechet Vechata Yashpila Tatsmo, Kezav Atolas. Lower yourself, right, the high, one of the tallest branches, and the small, lowest, Lechara Sarchi and Ma'inyan Zele Egel. So that's beautiful, but you know what is that? What does that have to do with Chayta Egel? Right? We know that a similar Chazal is found by Mitzora. So Mitzora, you might say the sins of that caused Sarat. Let's say Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara, I hold myself above the others, and I make fun, and degrade, and I make fun. So I'm holding myself off. So it makes sense that there's an Ezov and a Shni Tolas. But what does that have to do with Chayta Egel? Right? There was Gaiva there. Right. We were helpless. We're lost. We didn't know anything. So is there a issue of arrogance? So why would this be part of the avoda? What's the parallel? So says the apirgam v'nira mishuvda ma'isa ha'egel ta'u. What was the root sin? Okay, we got to speak about the chet ha'egel in this parsha. That was usually kisisa, but here we have another a couple of ideas. Ta'u b'masha ta'lu ha'geus l'Hashem yizbarach. They thought, what was it? The Beis Halevi discusses this at length in Parshas Kizisa. They thought that Hashem was so high up that one needs an intermediary. Right? Moshe's not here, so we need something else. We can't connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the opposite of kind of the Erez and the Shni Tolas, what you thought. Right? The Parshas is that one holds themselves so high. You think Hashem is so high. You think there's no connection between the high and the low. The Gavoa and the Namuch. V'nira says the Apiryon to be ma'iso egel ta'u b'masha talu hageyus l'Hashem Yisbarach she'en kvodo chas v'shalom l'hashgiach ba'atzmon b'tachtonim. It's not his covenant. Hashem is all the way up there. He's not interested. He's busy. He has other worlds to manage and to take care of. V'lachin bikshu lasos lahem elokim. That's why they wanted to have an intermediary, some way to connect. Remember, the Ramban talks about it, that it wasn't really avodah zarah. They were lost and they wanted a substitute for Moshe Rabbeinu. But they were going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'ha'emes eino kenki HaKadosh Baruch Hu shokhein es dake. But as we know, it's not true. Hashem is so high, but Hashem is low. Like we say in Hallel, Hashem is mashpeh again ma'bi shvalim, but he's also, he's with the shvurei lev. U'muvan shabalahem remezeh b'kan shakavua shenitga'eh. Yes, pilot atzmo. High up, go down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very high up, and he lowers himself. Hashem is as high as the Erez, but he is low down. He is with us, and we need to learn that lesson. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a direct connection to us. No intermediaries needed. If we feel low, he is there. He is pulling us, and we are climbing up to him. I think we've quoted in the past the thought of Revolbi. In his Sefer Mitzvah Shkulos, where he talks about how tzitzis is the symbol and reminds us of all the mitzvos, Uzchartam is called Mitzvos Hashem. How does the tzitzis do that? So he quotes the Medrash of the Mashal of the Kabarnit. You have the captain of a boat, and somebody falls overboard, and they have to try to save him, and what do? So they throw a life preserver, they throw something for him to grab onto, and when the person grabs onto it, they try to wheel him in as long as he holds tight to that rope. So then they're going to pull him up to the boat and pull him to safety and pull him to the captain. And that's really what every mitzvah is. Every mitzvah is an allowance for us to be directly connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have to use connections. We have our own connections. Hashem wants us to go up the rope. And every mitzvah, that's why tzitzis are strings. Every time we see the strings of the tzitzis, we should remember that every mitzvah is a string to grab onto, a string to climb up, and a string to directly connect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't need an intermediary. And that was the chet, the root of the chet of the chet ha'egel, and that's the apirion, why part of the avoda of the paraduma has to do with an ezov and an eitz. Erez the highest, and Ezov the lowest. Okay. A third idea. Actually, no. Now we're moving on to the other sin. The next sin of the Parsha, as we know, this Sefer is chock full of chatoim that we can learn from. starting from Parshas Baha'aloscha, going back, and the Misonanim, His Avu Taiva, Baha'aloscha, and Shlach, of course, of the Cheta Meraglim, and Korach last week. And Chukas, we start off with Paraduma, which is connected to the Cheta Egel, but later on we have Moshe Rabbeinu. We have Moshe Rabbeinu's Chet, that ultimately, at least according to the Torah Shebachsav, is what forbade him from going into Eretz Yisrael, and so many different pshatim. What exactly was the Chet? What was the Chet? I think the Abarbanel quotes 10 or 11 sources exactly what the Chet is. Let's review the story. Let's review the story and see if we could come up with any idea. Because again, every pshat of a Rishon or Achron focuses on a different word or phrase. I mentioned before the Cheta Egel, and all the Mefarshim discuss what exactly was the root problem of the Cheta Egel, and again, the Rishonim and the Achronim, depending on what word, what phrase you focus on. Do you focus on Eilel Lecha Yisrael? Do you focus on I'm not going to look at Kisisa now, but Rashi and the Ramban all focus on different words. So here too, depending on what word you focus on, will determine what exactly was the chet. The parak starts off, the chet starts off, Vaydabar Hashem el Moshe l'emar. Right, the Bnei Yisrael complain, they are thirsty. Right, they're thirsty for water. Vaydabar Hashem el Moshe l'emar, kach es amate, pasuk zayin, parakhah pasuk zayin, kach es amate, take the staff, fakel es ha'eda, atav Aaron achicha, and gather the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, v'dibartem al ha'sela, le'enehem. You shall speak to the rock, in front of them, v'nasan meimav, and the rock will give off its water. Votesa es lahemayim in a sela, and you will take out the water from the sela. Again, interesting. We've discussed that in the past. You speak to the rock, the water will come forth, and then you will bring out the water. It just said water is going to come out. What's the next phrase? Vishkisa es eidav es biram, and then you will give the drink. Right, many phrases here that seem to be repetitive. Okay. Moshe zamatim levi Hashem kasher tziva. Tzivahu. Moshe takes the mate, and that's the only part that's kasher tzivahu. Vayakilu Moshe v'Aharon es hakol apnei ha'sela. He gathered them al pnei ha'sela vayomer lahem. All of a sudden, Shimuna Hamorim. Hashem didn't tell him to do that. Listen, rebels. Hamin ha'sela hazeh notzi lachem mayim. Are we going to take out water from this rock? Again, it sounded like, was that the... was that the tzivui? Hashem said that you will give. V'hotseisa lahemayim. So Moshe says, notzi lahemayim. V'yara Moshe says, yado, v'yachas ha'selam ateo pa'amayim. He hits the rock twice. V'yetzu mayim rabim. Much water comes out. V'teish te'edu uvi'iram. So what exactly is the chen? Hashem immediately says, and we feel the emotion, we feel the pain. Yan lo emantem bi, l'hakti sheni le'ni b'nei Yisrael. Because you didn't believe to sanctify me, Leinu B'nei Yisrael. L'chein lo saviu asakal hazeh el aretz asher nasati lahem. Therefore, you will not bring the kahal into the land. Unbelievable. It seems so jarring and so with such finality, without warning. But that's the parsha of Meimariva and all the different pshatim that are found. So what exactly is the chet? So Rabbi Sachs says, we didn't even read the pasuk that's the key to the whole story. Here in his Sefer, Essays on Ethics, he has a fascinating creative shot where he again quotes what exactly was the chet. Moshe's subsequent behavior is extraordinary. He takes the staff. He and Aaron gather the people. This was the behavior that cost Moshe and Aaron their chance of leading the people across the Jordan into Eretz Yisrael. So what exactly was his problem? His act of striking instead of speaking. Getting angry, all different pshatim. So Rabbi Sachs on the next page asks a fascinating question. This time though, I want to pose a different question. Why then? Why did Moshe fail this particular test? Right, Moshe had many challenges. After all, he had been in a similar situation twice before. After emerging from the Yamsuf, they traveled for 3 days, right, Parshas B'Shalach, they didn't find water. Then they found somebody who was bitter and they complained, and Moshe helped make it sweet by adding the bitter trees. Arriving at Rephidim, again, no water. Moshe says to Hashem, what am I going to do with these people? Od ma'ad uskaluni. Hashem patiently instructed Moshe what to do, and water flowed from the rock. So twice already, Moshe had succeeded in getting them water. What was the problem here? Moshe had successfully overcome two similar challenges in the past. Why on this third occasion did he lose emotional control? What was so different? So let's go back to the psukim. Right? I started to read in Pasuk Zayin. Parakha Pasuk Zayin. Go back to Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Aleph. Right after Paraduma. Vayavo b'nei Yisrael kol ha'edam midbartzin b'chodesh harishon. All b'nei Yisrael, they come to the Midbar in the first month. Vayeshev, right? First month, we know that's setting the date for when this happens. Vayeshev ha'bakadesh v'tamas sham Miriam v'tikavar sham Miriam dies. We know Miriam's yard site is in Nisan. And then right afterwards, v'lohaya mayim la'eda. They don't have water. They don't have water. Like Chazal tell us in Tainus Daf Tes, Rashi quotes it, mikan shekolai b'am shana hayalem be'er b'schus Miriam. For the 40 years, they had the be'er b'schus Miriam. As her Miriam dies, no water. V'lohamayim la'eda v'yikahalu al Moshe v'al Aaron. So they come. And that's, we think, okay, there's no water, and that's why they're complaining now. And Moshe gets upset at them. Fine. Says Rabbi Sacks, we don't grasp the significance of that lead-in. The answer is stated explicitly in the text, but in so understated a way that we may fail to grasp its significance. Right? What's the message here? There's another way of not just the water. Look at the bottom of where it says page 212. There's another way of reading the passage naturally and psychologically. The connection between Miriam's death and the events that follow had less to do with a miraculous well and more to do with Moshe's response to the complaints of the Israelites. Rabbi Sacks often goes through the humanness, and again, with respect and understanding, but Moshe even is a greater leader for us if he has a human side. This was the first trial he had to face as leader of the people without the presence of his sister. Let us recall who Miriam was. Who was Miriam for Moshe? She was his elder sister, his oldest sibling. She watched over his fate as he floated down the Nile in a pitch basket. She had the presence of mind and the audacity to speak to Paro's daughter and arrange for the child to be nursed by his mother. Without Miriam, Moshe would have grown up not knowing who he was and to which people he belonged. Miriam is a background presence throughout much of the narrative. It's amazing. We don't appreciate Miriam. Aaron HaKohen became the Kohen Gadol. Miriam is in the background, but she's an anchor for Moshe Rabbeinu. She's an anchor. Right, and even a few weeks ago, Parshas Baloscha, Moshe Rabbeinu, what does he say? Al nati kameis, Aaron says. Right, we're half dead. We're half dead without our sister. Moshe cares deeply for her despite her negative talk. It's only Parshas Chukas that we begin to get a full sense of her influence, and this only by implication. Here it is, Rabbi Sacks says. For the first time, Moshe faces a challenge without her. And for the first time, Moshe loses emotional control in the presence of the people. This is one of the effects of bereavement. And those who have suffered it often say that the loss of a sibling is harder to bear than the loss of a parent, in a sense. The loss of a parent is part of the national order of life. I felt that this week. You know, when we're Rachmana Litzlan, we're at a time period in Jewish history when, you know, not every levaya is seemingly in the natural order of events of children being maspid their parents and their grandparents. So we have tremendous hakaras hatov when it's the natural order. But Rabbi Sacks says when it comes to a sibling, it's a little different. The loss of a parent is part of the natural order of life. The loss of a sibling can be less expected and be profoundly disorienting. And Miriam, of course, was no ordinary sibling. Moshe owed her his entire relationship with his natural family. V'chulu. And that's what Rabbi Sacks says. Moshe was great and amazing, and he was the leader. But no leader could truly survive on his or her own. Yisrael told Moshe this many years earlier, right? Navol Tibo, you're going to get worn out. Rabbi Sacks then says, leaders need three kinds of support. Allies who will fight alongside them. Troops or teams to whom they could delegate, take some of the pressure off of themselves. A soulmate or soulmates to whom they can confide their doubts and fears, who will listen without an agenda, other than it being a supportive presence. Right? A family member, a spouse, who will give them courage, confidence, and sheer resilience to carry on. Leaders can't do it themselves, Rabbi Sacks teaches us. And Moshe Rabbeinu, by implication, we learn that from this week's Parsha. Turning the page. Having known through personal friendship many leaders in many fields, I can say with certainty, says Rabbi Sacks, that it is false to suppose that people in positions of high leadership have thick skins. Most of those I have known have not. They are often intensely vulnerable. They could suffer deeply from doubt and uncertainty. Right? Leaders are human beings too. And they need, could be hurt by criticism, the betrayal of people they once considered friends. Right? They don't show, because they are leaders, they rarely show any signs of vulnerability in public. But one has to recognize leaders need that support as well. He quotes the Rambam that we've quoted in the past on Asel HaChaver, the different kinds of friends that one needs, and that's why Rabbi Sack says at the end of this piece, a careful reading of this episode in the context of Moshe's early life suggests that Miriam was Moshe's trusted friend, his confidant, the source of his emotional stability. Amazing. When she was no longer there, he had difficulty. And again, this doesn't take away from Moshe. There was a chait that was done. We're trying to understand it, and this is saying it's part of the bereavement. And that's why the Torah puts it right beforehand. Not just to tell us that there was no water, but that was part of Moshe Rabbeinu's struggle at that time. Even the greatest cannot lead alone. Okay. That's one thought on the sin from Rabbi Sacks. Another thought, again, contemporary, is from Reb Blumenzweig here in V'Hisalachti B'Sochachem. Source number 6. He quotes the story, and again, he discusses the chiluk that Rishonim make. We just have to try to understand it. And that is hitting versus talking. Moshe was told to speak to the rock. Instead, he hit the rock. Somehow that would be less miraculous. That would be different. What's the difference? They would both be miraculous from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Water doesn't come from rocks. Right, so what is it? Habira Pashat Amakubo. Lecheto Shel Moshe. The Pashat Pshat. Without getting into all of the lumdis and the anger, was that he was supposed to talk and he hit. So what's the difference? Says Rabbi Blumenzweig, there's a big difference between talking and hitting. Haka Mashma'uta, bottom right. Kiyeshli Hilachim Ulanapetzes Hadavar Ha'omid Mulech. Hitting is an act that's against what's in front of you. When I hit something, it's going against the reality. I'm hitting and that's pushing back. There's a pressure. One side going towards the other side. There's a clash. That's the word. There's a clash. He's not just kolshehi multzada omid mineged. That's what hitting is. It's to overpower. Hitting is to overpower, to move, to push the other side away. Lu'umata, dibur, often could be the opposite. There's dibur of hakah too. But dibur ba mitoh gisha acheres lechalutin. Dibur, speaking, can come from a totally opposite approach. In yono shel dibur hu hashichnua. It is the convincing. It is the encouraging. Hamedaber menase lehischaber el atzad sheminegad. The medaber tries to connect to the other side, not to push it away. Lehiskasheri labu leshachno ba'amitas hadvarim. That's the difference between a hitting act and a speaking act. Number two, another difference, he says, Hehevdol nosaf yeshno bein hakah ledibur. Another act, another difference between hakah and dibur. Hakah poneh latzad achitzoni shel hametzias. Hitting is just about the external. Hitting is an external, it's a physical act that only connects to the physical reality that's opposite me. Ela ma'atefes hanigles la'ayin. Lumasa hadibur poneh latzad hapinimi elanistar. But dibur is connected to the internal. The internal, the nistar, what's hidden. And he says, Reb Blumenzweig, that there's a connection between these two, right? Dibur and Hakah and Dibur. Is it clash? Is it supportive? Is it internal? Is it external? Nira ki yesh kesher bein shnei havdelim elu. There's a kesher. Yesh shtei afshariyot ketzal lefanos es al metzius ve'la adam. There are two ways to connect to a person. There's two ways to connect. Yesh afsharis lezyaches lezad achitzoni. I can focus on the outer, external person. L'ma'atefes, to the envelope, to what's covering. Mitoch havana, ki hi mastira dvarim shalmanas l'choshvam, yesh lishbar esosan achomo. Sometimes to get to what's inside, I have to break down the walls. Sometimes to get to what's inside, I have a nut. I have to break the shell. I have to crush the shell. I have to smash the shell in order to get to the nut that's inside. Sometimes you have to do that in order to then get to what's inside. Lumazos, but sometimes, yeshev sharos lefanos letzad apnimi. I could focus on the internal. Mitoch havana shu hadavar hamerkazi. Okay, realize that's the what's central. Legadlo ula ha'adiro. Ad shal yinaveh v'yifrot achutz, until it blossoms and sprouts out by itself without breaking what's on the outside, but it's the inside sprouting forth by itself with a little encouragement. Shlav zeh yesh afilu efsharis ki osam masachim chitzoniim yefchu lios klisharis. The outer layers could be useful. Ha-mevat'im es atzad apnimi mibliles nagilo. And you could use the outer layers just to unravel and uncover by itself. Ula hagbiloso. What an amazing thought. Hitting versus speaking, internal versus external. And he says, of course, gam bechinuch anu motzim shnei ma'amadim halalu, an education of a child, of a student. We have both of these. B'mikra, sheis sipiyot miyeled v'ein omid behed. If a child is not fulfilling the expectations that we had hoped, ela misnaig acheres mea mitzupen, he's acting differently than what should be expected. Yeshev sharas lahakoso, uliyasar asher yachsel l'mudav. One could hit, and even if it's not physically hit, one could relate in a way of the only focusing on the external, on the cover. Sometimes one has to fight and wage war. But in contrast, el sichlo, one could speak to his inside. To convince and to raise up the yesh. Until it comes out. Shvira, again he repeats, misyacheses bepashtus lahofas achitonius, breaking, smashing, relates to the external. Vadibra ponel olam apnimi. That's the yachas between the guf and the neshama, olam hamaisa and olam haruach. And then he quotes, continues, in terms of even regarding the dibur, he says there could be two bechinos, right? He says there could be a dibur. He has the mashal of dibur of Shabbos and a dibur of Chol. Chol is focused on the asiya, the external. Dibur of Shabbos is internal. But he says that's what happened here. That's what happened here. Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe he wanted him to do an act of dibur to uplift. To uplift and not to hit. And he quotes it based on a medrash. Now skip to the next page. Vayiglanar. Vidibartem elasela. Vihikisem lo nemar. Kishahanar. Not, doesn't say hit. Kshanar katan rabu makehu. Umelamdo. Kivan shehigdil bedibur humiyasro. Kach amar akadish baruchu. Lomoshe kshayasela ze katan. In the earlier stages, then hitting fine, when Bnei Yisrael were younger, you could have that attitude. Hikiso, so in that act to bring the water, Hikisa Batsur. But now I need you to speak. I need you to uplift. Right? Shanala Paragechad Vumosi Mayim in Hasela. And that's what he says, the Medrash is answering. Right? Earlier, different stages of one's life. And sometimes, again, it doesn't mean that we always have deeper. Sometimes we have to have an attitude of Hakah in education, of demanding. But ultimately, the ultimate obviously is just to have the dibur element. That's what he says. Hamedrash Meishiv on line 19. Lakushu mavchem eshnei matzavim. Two different situations. Pakbala l'shnei tkufos chayev shel adam. Right, in parallel to the two stages of a person's life. Tkufa rishona hu katan. L'chein be'emez yishin yilakoso. One could be a little against. Maybe the inside is not developed enough in order to raise that up. Above mishehigdal anar. Then you have to relate to it differently. And that's Moshe Rabbeinu. He says towards the bottom, he says, maybe this is the pshat of the anger. So this puts a couple of the pshatim of the Rishonim together. Hitting versus speaking. Anger, shimuna hamorim, because that was a haka'a type of attitude. Not just the physical hakah, but the attitude that he related to them with was one of hakah, and that was the ultimate source of the chet. Okay, moving right along, a couple more a couple of more thoughts. We continue. Perek Chaf now, after the Chet. So Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, they're not going in. Vayishlach, Revi'i. Vayishlach Moshe Malachim Yikadesh, El Melech Adom. Moshe sends Malachim to, from Kadesh to, they were in Kadesh, that's where this took place. So Moshe sends Malachim to the king of Edom, Komar Achicha Yisrael. He calls him Achicha, right? He calls him Achicha because, right, Rashi says, Achim Anachnu B'nei Avraham. Right, both of us. Kiger Yezaracha, Al Shneinu Hayatzochov LeFaro. So he said, "I tell you, Data is called Tlaasher Mitzasnu. You know everything that has befallen us. Vayerdo Avosein Mitzrayim. We went to Mitzrayim. VaNeishem Mitzrayim Yomim Rabim. We were there many days. Everybody knew the story, or maybe he's just telling him. Vayereo Lanu Mitzrim Vala Avoseinu. Moshe is giving the king of Edom a little Jewish history lesson." We were in Mitzrayim. They tortured us. Vanitzak al Hashem vayishma koleinu. We cried out. Hashem heard our call. Vayishlach malach vayotzeinu mitzrayim. And he, Hashem, sent a malach and took us out of Mitzrayim. V'hini anachnu b'kadesh irkzei gvulecha. Now we're in Kadesh. Right, two psukim that tell us the Jewish history. We were in Mitzrayim. It was terrible. We cried out. Hashem heard our tefilos. He sent a malach, took us out of Mitzrayim, and now we're in Kadesh. Let us pass. Nabra nabar artzecha lo nabar basad v'cherem. Let us pass. We won't go through fields and vineyards. Lo nishtame be'er. Right? We'll buy water from you. Derech ha'melech ne'elech lo nita yim in a small. Adashar navar gvulecha. We'll just go straight. Please let us through. And the king of Edom says, not interested. Lo savar bi pen b'char v'asila krasecha. Right? I'm going to fight you. Don't come. So don't come. So the king of Edom is not interested. Vayimain Edom nesonos yisrael avar gvulo. So, Vayet Yisrael me'alav, they can't go. So they go from instead of going through Edom, they came to Har Hahar, says the Psukim. So who's this Malach? Getting back to Pasuk design. We cried out, Moshe Rabbeinu again gave a two Pasuk Jewish history lesson. We were in Mitzrayim, it was terrible, and we cried out, Hashem heard us, and said the Malach. Rashi quotes, Zemoshe. Moshe. Mikancha Navim Kriya Malachim, but Omer Vayihu Mal Ivim Bemalacheho Elokim, a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim base. Ezra, the Azayim Latara, Ezra of Sarazkin, Moshe's calling himself a Malach. Moshe's giving a two-word Jewish history lesson, two pasuk. Moshe is not someone who would call himself a Malach. Eich es hispa'er, says Rav Sarazkin, Ha'ana Mikal Adam Lefnei Melech Edom, V'kara La'atzma Malach. So he says, Upo Asi Makom Lahaskir, I'm going to say Shamati, what he heard from his father-in-law. Hagon Amitir of Lezer Gordon, Av Bezem Rish Besifta details, Maisa Begon Echad Mirabani Vilna, one of the Rabbanim of Vilna, he thinks is Rav Avali Pasfaller. She Yatzal Asuach Vichutz La'ir, he went out. V'ra Kafri Echad Yoshev Umani Bagali, he went out and he saw somebody on a wagon, Haratuma Lasus, he saw somebody, Parak Shurela, he saw somebody violating the Isra Kilei Behema. He went out and saw a villager, and there was an ox and a horse that were tied up to the wagon. Hagon is here as a kafri. And he gave him warning. He says, what are you doing? Villager, Jewish, obviously. She's a asra pi devar Torah. I want kafri l'shom elav. The villager did not care and did not listen. Oz nisagon levar l'kafri es chomer iser. He starts saying, it's an iser d'araisan. Kosher, non-kosher animal. V'gamza lo yoil, hoil. Didn't know what to do. And finally he says, Hayadata miani umihu medaber elecha. Do you know who I am? Do you know who exactly I am? Who's talking to you? Ani hu arav ayoser gadol shebevilna. I'm the greatest rabbi in Vilna. V'shmi olech b'chol ha-medinas. I'm so famous. I'm the most famous rabbi in all of Vilna. V'tekev chasher navola Vilna. Achriz olecha nidui v'shato. We're going to come to Vilna. I'm going to put you in cheirim. Come to Vilna. I'm going to say that you didn't listen to my warning. Hakafri nivhal, he tiras apar me agalav echzikas rishu biyado, and he listened. Harei lanu, what did he do? Shagon v'tzadik lavash geus v'ispar lev nekafri. He used his gaiva kshu gadol hador kidei lemnoa oso me'aveira. Right, just to prevent it from an aveira, he used his gaiva in that case. Umemelis, he says once if the gaiva is something positive. Umemel efshar lomer, he says maybe here too. Shagam Moshe Lavash Gias Visparlavni Melech Adom. Moshe tried in front of the king of Edom. He says, he's a Malach. He's a Malach. Shashem Shlach Lo Tzitz Yom Mitzrayim. Hashem sent me. Kedilahatel Eima Amalach Edom. In order to instill awe. She Yisratzel Azaz Yisrael Avar Begulo. He did it for Klal Yisrael. He did it to try to convince him, to let them go through. Lulam Noah Mehem Nedudim Vitatulim, so they don't have to go all the way around. La Save Eretz Edom, in order to saved the Avshahat his powers of Nemelech Edom Loho Ila. No, it didn't help. The Kafri listened. The king of Edom didn't listen. King of Edom didn't listen. So he didn't listen. I think I once heard a story in the name, I forgot who it was, or Shlomo Zalman or someone else, that also someone went to a, not in this type of context, but somebody went to visit an almana, and the almana asked who it is, and they said, Harav Agon, Harav Rashil. He used all of his titles. Why? To make the person feel good. They realize like who he was, not because of his own covet, but to make them feel that, oh, the Rav Rashi, the greatest tzaddik, is coming to visit me, right? To give them covet. Says that's you know, when they use their own covet for others, is that really their own? So then that's something that we could learn from. Okay. Aaron HaKohen also. Aaron, what happens in this parasha Chukas? Again, Miriam dies. Remember, we've mentioned in the past. We've gone 38 years in this week's parsha. Chukas, all of a sudden, Miriam dies, and then a little later on, Chaftes, Aaron dies. Vayir kol eda ki kava Aaron, v'yivkuas Aaron shloshim yom, kol beis Yisrael. Kol beis Yisrael, as we know Rashi tells us, kol beis Yisrael, who is that? Ha'anashim v'hanashim. Lefishaya Aaron rodev shalom, umatel ava bin ba'ali meriva. Aaron was Rodev Shalom. He ran after peace. Umatal Ahava, Ben Baalei Meriva, Uben Ishla Ishta. Just want to mention one other thought about my father. My father was a man of peace. And if it was Hashkacha, that the one Shabbos I prepared all the Shiurim that I was going to give for the summer, I didn't give Parshas Korach. You know, maybe my father was always Borech Ben Amachlokas. You know, he spoke about every medical ethics issue under the sun, but he stayed friendly with every one of the Rabbanim. All the Rabbanim on all sides of the issues, he was friendly with and he wrote articles with, because he was a man of Shalom and he was always Boreach Ben Amachlokas. I thought maybe that was Hashkacha, that I wasn't able to give the Parshas Korach shir, which is Korach and Machlokas. Okay. B'chach was Chaim, source number 9, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld. The Chach was Chaim put together some of his Divrei Torah. Just tell stories about Rav Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld, who he often tried to do his best to get people to have shalom, when there was a sichsuch, right? He quotes, Tofes Hayim Midaso Shal Aaron HaKohen. Rav Chaim Zonenfeld grabbed and tried to be like Aaron HaKohen, Oyev Shalom Verodev Shalom. Osa Shalom Benishl Ishto, Oyev Sabrias. She has Shomei Al Sichsuch Shenafa Benishl Ishto. If he heard of a machlokes between a husband and a wife, or between friends, Haya Ozer Kegever Chalatzav, Lo Nach Velo Shakat. He didn't stop. Ache Hevi Yashne Yisadam Lepius Ulis Ratzos. Until they came back together. Lo pam karach reish sado pas arvis. Often, after he had supper, he went out. His atef be juba isladra put on his coat. The sampana v'opati at sado am suksachim. He went to their houses. He didn't call them. He went to their houses. Dofak al dalso shalalap. He knocked on somebody's door who was very shocked that he had come. She nidham v'nisbalbel mehofato apitomid. What are you doing here? The gadol ador. He started to talk about the machlokes. He pressured him to be mevater. Everybody can be mevater a little bit here, a little bit there. Kumbas rizus. He went to the other side. And even if it was Shah Mucheres, even if it was very late at night, lohaya mahasis. So there was a machlokes. Wake him up. No, can't be machlokes. I'm not going to stand for it. And he waited. He waited until he was able to get them come back together. And he's in the middle, he explains, Ech yala al daito shalom Yisrael b'shul dvarim shal mabakach. How many arguments machlokas are for silly things? Ubaver and yonim shal hitznatzchus lagarish shechina mimono, that the shechina leaves when there's machlokas. I mean, uchash l'psar shechina, you don't want Hashem to be around? You don't want to have the shechina in the house, in the shul? Machlokos in shuls, machlokos in homes. Rachmana litzlan, we want us to recognize that even one moment of machlokos removes the shechina, and that is what the Chacham Eschaim, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld, tried to do to make sure that people realized how every second of machlokos is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot stand, and try to get them back. Try to get them back, and it tells a couple of stories here in following the derech of Aaron HaKohen. Okay, one thought on the Haftorah. Right, the Haftorah of Parshas Chukas, you know, is the story of Yiftach. Yiftach in Sefer Shoftim, in the 11th parak of Shoftim, the end of the story is mysterious. Very mysterious. Mysterious what happened. Remember, Yiftach made a ned there that if Hashem helps him out, that whatever comes out of his house first, I'm going to give that as a karbon. He wasn't sure which animal it would be, and ended up being his daughter. And what did he do? It's unclear whether he actually, the end of the Haftorah, whether he actually killed his daughter, or his daughter went to be alone in the forest for the rest of her life. Machlokas, look at the last Ramban in Parshas Sefer Vayikra, right? Machlokas, Ibn Ezra, Ramban. But the Psukim say, Vayidar Yiftach Neder Lashem Vayomar, Im Nason Titanis Bnei Amon Biad, if you help me defeat Amon, Vaya Hayotse Asher Yetse Midalse Besi Likrasi, whatever goes out of my doors, Bishuvi Bishalom Ibnei Amon, when I come back, Vahaya Lashem, Vahali Sehu Ola, and I will give it as an Ola. Vayaver Yiftach Abnei Amon Lilachem Bam Yitem Hashem Biado. Right, Hashem helped him defeat Amon. We don't lay those psukim. We don't lay those psukim about his daughter. We just end the Haftorah of that he conquered Amon. If you look in the Eish Tamid in source number 12, Baftorah Zashavua, earlier in the story, we read about the beginnings of Yiftach. Beginning of Haftorah. Hu ben isha zonah v'yol Gilad es Yiftach. Gilad had Yiftach, and there were other children, other siblings that Yiftach had, and they drove him away. V'yigdalu b'nei ha'isha, v'yigarshu es Yiftach, v'yomru lo, lo tinchal b'beis avinu, ki ben isha acheres ata, you're a ben of another woman. You're not one from our mother. V'yivrach Yiftach b'pnei echav. Yiftach runs away, Vayesha ve'eretz tov. Chazal pick up what that is. Eretz tov, Vayiski laktu al Yiftach anashim rekim. He had a whole chevra with him, Vayesu imo. And what happens eventually, Amon started to overtake Bnei Yisrael. And what happened? The Zikne Gilad and the brothers go out to find Yiftach. And they say, Yiftach, can you please help us out? Vayomru li Yiftach lecha, Vayisa lanu lekatsin, v'nilachama b'bnei Amon, help us. Be our katsin, be our leader. Yiftach says, really? Vayomer Yiftach lezikne Gilad. How about them saneisim osi? You hated me, but the gershuni mi beis avi. Umadu abasam alay me'ata. Now when things are tough, you're coming to me, you threw me out, you throw me under the bus, and now you come and say, oh, could you help us? Pasaches. Vayomer zikne Gilad al Yiftach. Lachin atashavnu elecha. That's why we came back to you. Lachin atashavnu elecha. V'halachta imanu, you shall go with us, v'nilchamta b'vnei Amon. You shall fight Amon. V'yisalanu l'rosh u'l'chol yoshvi gilad. You shall be with us. Yiftach says, imeshivim atem osi lachem b'vnei Amon, you want me to come? V'nasan Hashem osam l'fanai, if Hashem helps me out, anochi e'alachan l'rosh. Ask the Eish Tamid, what was their answer to his question? Right, they were terrible to him. They threw him out of the house. They come and say, could you help us out? He says, what are you doing? You hated me. You threw me out. What are you coming to me now? They don't answer the question. Right? They say, well, we're coming to you now. Be our head. How did they answer the question? That's the question that we're going to deal with. How did they answer the question? Line 8. Hadvar matmihim. Ketzin mishivim lo bazel shelaso. Halo ein shelaso rakma du abasam elai. Why'd you come? And what did they say? We want you to help us out. He knew that. Right? Well, what did they answer? Lachein atashavnu elecha. That doesn't answer the question. So here the Eish Tamid quotes three ideas. Number one, he quotes from Reb Nachum Parchovitz. B'derech Chidud. This one is a little tongue-in-cheek. She'kachi tshuva shel politikai. Politicians. You ever ask them a question? They start talking about something else. You ask them a question about this issue and they start talking about the economy. You ask them about the economy, they start talking about the immigrants. There are some things that he wants to say. So he's going to say it doesn't matter what the questions are. Okay, that's one idea. So they come and they were the heads of the country. Could you help us out? Right? What you do? They ignored it. Okay, one idea. But he quotes, each time he quotes from his father. Quotes from his father based on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Hu ayomer, alti baz l'chal adam, v'alti maflig l'chal davar. Don't look down and be buzzed to any person. Shein lecha adam, shein lo shah, Everybody has their moment. Everybody has their place. Rashi. Al ti baz l'chal adam. Al tavazeh shum adam sheba olam. Don't be mavazeh anybody. She'en l'cha adam kal sheba olam she'en lo shash atat tzarech lo. You're going to need them. You're going to need them. Don't try to push somebody away. Don't try. You're going to need them. Going to need them. Al ti baz l'chal adam. Says the father here of the Ish Tamid. This is their tshuva. Hasiba shemach matanu tzrichem lagela. You know why we're coming to you? Chazal. We were buzzed to you, and look now we need you. Al ti baz l'chal adam, because you're going to need. Kadosh Baruch Hu has his ways. Kadosh Baruch Hu has his ways. Basically, they were noting their mistake in this admission. Shemach matan, hasiba shemach matanu tzrichem lagela elecha v'zakukem l'cha. What do we need you? Dafka mipnei zeh shahinu bazim l'cha. You're going to end up needing them. They answer. He's right. This is the answer. That's why we're coming to you. Because we messed up and we apologize. Adaraba. Biglal. Then everybody quotes a third idea. Which, again, one might ask another question. This non-answer, what do you say in the next pasuk? Yiftach doesn't like ask the question again, but you threw me out. He just says, okay, I'll be your leader. Right? So Yiftach accepted it. Seemed to accept it. See, he quotes a story from Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. One time he was asked to be mevatel gzeira against the sar shahaya yadua shein emuchan lakacha shochad. To be a makabalah, you know, to argue, to get a decree removed from, but it was a person, an officer that was known not to take any bribes. So what did he do? He started talking to him about the weather. Rabbeinu Chaim hifsid futzal shal masar, and he made a wager with him. He made a bet with him, and Rabbi Chaim lost. What did he do? He lost the wager. He paid him. He gave him a little bit of money, and after he gave him a little bit of money, he maybe had another wager with him, and then eventually he tried to say, you know, maybe I'll give you some more and you'll get rid of the gzeira. Once you start buttering somebody up, once you start, somebody starts feeling a little bit of the kavod, a little bit of the shochad, you know, after that, there's no more. Ki ha-shochad ya'aver eini chachamim, b'salat divrei tzadikim. So here too, once Yiftach heard a little bit, you could be our head, it was all good. He maybe forgot about the past, and he was able to get over what they had done with him in the past. Maybe the message for us, you know, I would say the middle, the second approach is, you know, we have to recognize the respect and honor and show chashivas to every single person because everyone is a tzelem alokim. And it could be that we're going to need them. Could be that we're going to need them at some point in the future. Even if not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs them, and we have to make sure that we recognize the tzelem alokim of every single individual. Okay, we will stop here. Parshas Chukas.